Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. It's a great privilege to be able to speak with you all this afternoon on a very important issue. And before I get started, I did want to acknowledge my co-investigator, Dr. Liu Shi from Johns Hopkins University. It's been a great pleasure to work with him. Great historical knowledge around the Health Center program, and it's helped socialize me into the world of, to some degree, academic endeavors couched within the federal bureaucracy. So, I think this follows really well after your presentation, talking about hospital discharges and the like, considering that we're talking about community health centers that provide primary care, so we're talking about a primary care setting. So hopefully if we draw attention to the unique issues and needs of folks with multiple chronic conditions, we may be able to circumvent some of those hospitalizations or avert some unnecessary hospitalizations. So just a little bit of background. Chronic conditions are the leading cause of death and disability in the U.S. and the major contributor to the growth of healthcare expenditures. I'm preaching to the choir, so I'm not going to drill you on that. I may drill you on my last name, but that's later. I think what's nice is that this is sort of our first foray into looking at chronic conditions. To some degree, because the Bureau doesn't systematically collect or regularly collect data on chronic conditions. But this particular data set allowed us to kind of dive in and explore some issues around chronic conditions. However, my interest in gerontology, I'm a gerontologist, I love older adults, and this was a great opportunity to kind of bring those two together. That being said, the prevalence of persons with chronic conditions will increase as a function of an aging population. And one of my favorite sort of population dynamic graphs is the population pyramid, or some refer to this sequence as the pig and a python. You guys see the pig and the python? I love it. But I think it really it sets the stage for, you know, as sheer numbers of older adults growing in the U.S., we're going to see these folks in our health centers. I mean, that one of the unique characteristics of community health centers is that they're nested within communities. And we know that as folks get older, their geography, their range of movement tends to constrict. And so it's a nice opportunity, again, for us to provide care for folks where they live. Taking the python, Serpent Patana. Okay, two questions. We also know that there's inequity in healthcare for chronic conditions across racial and ethnic minorities, uninsured persons, and those in lower SES. Vulnerable populations with chronic conditions and access to care for this group are critical health issues that need research and policy attention. And I think particularly relevant for the community for community health centers is that historically, I mean, we provide care to 9 out of 10 patients are 200% or below federal poverty levels. So we're talking about medically underserved, vulnerable population groups. 6 out of 10 patients that come into our health centers are racial or ethnic minority. However, historically, the proportion of patients in our health centers have been that were 65 and older have been about 7%, so proportionally small, but anticipate the sheer numbers of older adults and persons with chronic conditions to increase with time. Just to give you a little background information on health centers, in 2013, there were about a little over 1,200 grantees that represented about 9,200 delivery sites, which provided care to about 23 million patients if you consider our health center grantees and our FQHC lookalikes. So a fairly large number of patients being served through community health centers. So the role of health centers. HRSA support and health centers are safety net providers of primary care for medically underserved communities and vulnerable populations. And research findings show that health center patients have enhanced access to health care and decreased ED visits, better health outcomes, and reduced costs. However, few studies have specifically focused on health center patients with chronic conditions. So the study purpose is really to examine access to care for health center patients with chronic conditions and to compare access to health care among patients with one chronic condition, multiple chronic conditions, to those without any chronic conditions. A little bit about the data that was used for the study. It comes from our 2009 Health Center Patient Survey. Is anyone familiar with the Health Center program or community health centers, uniform data systems, the bane of data production every year? I'm sure. No. The unique thing about the Health Center Patient Survey is that these are patient-level data. These are in-person interviews. So you really get the granularity you wouldn't get in the annual data submissions that our community health centers provide, which is aggregated up to the grantee level. And any one parent organization could have multiple delivery sites, so you really get sort of cloudy information about those patients. And the data that's submitted into the UDS are from patient records. So you're really getting a provider perspective of care, whereas in these patient surveys, these are patient perspective, which is incredibly important. Okay. Overall, there are about 4,500 patients that were interviewed in 2009, but this, at that time, was supposed to represent the number of patients. I think it was like 18.7 million in 2009. So a lot of waiting going on. So some of the access to care variables that we looked at were the inability or delay getting medical attention, inability or delay in getting needed dental care, inability or delay in getting mental health care, inability or delay in getting prescription drugs, and then if you actually did get care, what was your satisfaction with the care you received? And if you all are familiar with like National Health Interview Survey questions, are really based on those core set of questions. Again, our primary independent variable is the measure looking at chronic conditions, and these chronic conditions include hypertension, asthma, diabetes, heart disease, depression, emphysema, a lot of things. And I think, again, this was sort of our first attempt at really exploring chronic conditions, patients with chronic conditions. And I invite folks to say, hey, you know what, that's sort of the kitchen sink. You might want to hone it down. And again, this is a terrific opportunity to talk about those things as well. Other than the fact that this is a profound study and that you know how to say Sripa Patana at the end of the presentation. Okay. We also looked at other variables that we know have relationship with access to care. So we looked at race, ethnicity, insurance status, age, gender, marital status, employment status, education, English fluency, and perceived health status. Basically, we first did descriptive statistics of all the covariates by the three condition groups, ran some bivariate analyses to see if there are any focal relationships before loading it up into logistic regression. I see that this is incredibly small text. Maybe it was done by design. No. This is basically a summary of the patient characteristics, and I'd be glad to share with y'all these slides. And I don't know where that y'all came from because I'm from Hawaii, but maybe from being in New Orleans for a day or two is sunk in. You all, if you are interested in seeing these slides, I'd be happy to share them with you. But it really just goes through some of the variables that we've included in our multivariate models. One of the things I did want to draw your attention to, because it's something that I'm particularly interested in, is that we see that for age categories, zero chronic conditions, the second column, third column is one chronic condition, the fourth column is two or more chronic conditions. We see that the mean age for respondents actually increases with multiple chronic conditions. So it's about 14.9, about 15 years old for zero chronic conditions, about 28 for one chronic condition, and then 42. So we see that, again, there's this confluence that age and chronic conditions tend to fly together. Again, not incredibly surprising, but it's nice to have some empirically couched information to refer to. Okay. So then after that, we ran some bivariate analyses just to see how chronic conditions interact with inability or delay in getting care. What you will see is that, by and large, folks don't. I mean, if you look at the respondents, sheer numbers, folks don't see or have delays in care, which is great, which is great. But among those that do, here, yes, if you go along this line, you'll see that the larger proportions are among those who have multiple chronic conditions. So folks who have multiple chronic conditions report that they were either unable or delayed getting medical attention, dental care, mental health care, prescription drugs. And then if there's any sort of silver lining, is even though there are these differences across the groups in inability or delay in getting access to care, we don't see any statistical difference in overall satisfaction once folks get the care that they need. How do we distill this? Again, so once we loaded these into our multivariate models, I think what we really wanted to do is, given all these other factors we talked about earlier that can influence access to care, we do see that folks with chronic conditions or multiple chronic conditions, there's a unique contribution of having chronic conditions that serves as an impediment to accessing care. And I think that's sort of the take-home thing here. Again, this really scratches the surface of what we're looking at, and part of this conversation here at APHA is to engage you all who really know these population groups and say, hey, if you're going to provide services to a growing patient population group with multiple chronic conditions, you might want to consider expanding your enabling services. Maybe it's transportation. Maybe that isn't transportation. Maybe it's follow-up to care. Maybe it's care coordination with specialists. Those sort of conversations, I think, are the real important stuff. This stuff is relatively important, which kind of brings us to those underlying sort of conversations later. So, as a summary of the findings, a large proportion of health center patients have more than one chronic condition who are in greater need of primary care. Although findings did not suggest racial, ethnic, and limited insurance-related disparities in accessing primary care, they're more likely to face access barriers compared to those without chronic conditions. More attention, of course, on patients with chronic conditions is warranted in order to ensure responsive health care in the primary care setting. Again, I think that's sort of the other layer, is that how will this booming number of patients with chronic conditions impact the primary care setting? Of course, I've got to plug the health insurance marketplace, otherwise I wouldn't be doing my job. But again, I think I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir. And I think we have a couple few minutes to open up to questions. Sripipatana, Sripipatana. Are there any questions? That was it. It was you take a kitchen sink and throw it in. No. I think we identified those. If the respondent had any chronic conditions, and then kind of folded them into a multiple chronic condition situation. I think one thing we've been struggling with at the Bureau is as far as how people could input these on a regular basis into patient charts and stuff. If there are any e-specifications we can draw from. Things of that nature. I know that there's an interagency work group, and I saw that there were some references by Dick that were in your presentation. They're really working hard at trying to find a way to systematically collect information on persons with chronic conditions. This way it would be routinely collected across the board, across all federal agencies. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I think that perhaps the next subsequent steps would be doing age-stratified analyses. But we do control for age and the multiple regression. But I get your point, certainly. I think that the nature of the conditions may be different. We're also, you know, looking at the Medicare beneficiaries. The nature of those beneficiaries will be different across those who are older than 65 or those who qualify for Medicare that are younger than 65. The nature of the conditions. No, certainly. Great point. Yes, 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 yes. So there was a proxy, yeah, correct. Yeah, proxy. When you have a 5-year-old, like, hi. No. Before he puts on a cape and flies out, yes.
Yeah.
And that's a part of this conversation that we're having here. So I will be giving you a business card and have those discussions. I think that where I sit in Rockville, Maryland, take great privilege in being able to kind of peek into people's clinical lives. But really looking at, again, I'm looking at data on around 23 million patients that don't have that boots on the ground sort of insight that you have and say, hey, Alec, what you guys are doing, your funding mechanisms, they could use some revisiting. Or whatever the case may be, how people input data into the systems in their EHRs, things like that, workflows. I'm being so incredibly open, you have no idea. Circuit Patana, SRI. Thank you.